This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The head of the Episcopal Church is pleading for unity, an indication that the denomination is on the verge of a possible split. Presiding Bishop Frank Griswold sent a letter to fellow bishops, and particularly conservatives, who have threatened serious action if the denomination approves an openly gay bishop and same-sex unions. Conservatives and liberals are developing their political strategies for the General Convention next week. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
She was like a political candidate, crisscrossing the country, speaking to endless groups of people, and Trinity Episcopal Church in Santa Barbara was her last stop.
I am the Reverend Susan Russell, and I'm so very pleased to be with you this morning representing Claiming the Blessing.
Claiming the Blessing is a group of Episcopalians lobbying the church to bless same-sex unions. Russell says they lost by a handful of votes 3 years ago, the last time the bishops, rectors, and laypersons gathered to decide critical church matters. Since then, they've been making their case in meetings, letters, emails, and appeals to churches. Russell says they've gained momentum with the election of Reverend Gene Robinson to be the next bishop of New Hampshire. If confirmed at General Convention, Robinson would be the first openly gay bishop ever, and Russell says she's confident he will be confirmed.
The reality is that the Holy Spirit has already spoken through the people of New Hampshire, and at this point it's just up to the National Episcopal Church to say amen.
But others say Robinson is anything but a shoo-in, and according to Reverend David Anderson, he shouldn't be.
Especially a bishop has to be above moral reproach or criticism. That doesn't hold in Gene's case because a good part of the church feels that homosexual activity would disqualify a person from Christian leadership.
Anderson is president of the American Anglican Council, a group of Orthodox or conservative Episcopalians. Like the liberals, these people have an orchestrated campaign of their own. This week in Fairfax, Virginia, for example, dozens of conservative bishops, influential laypersons, and pastors of some of the largest Episcopal churches are meeting behind closed doors.
We're going to talk and pray for the better part of 2 days.
Jeffrey Chapman, who is rector of a 2,000-member church near Pittsburgh, says they're figuring out how to defeat the gay resolutions and what they'll do if they lose. One option, he says, is to, quote, realign the conservative churches, not splitting off from the Episcopal Church because they'd lose their property and assets, but creating a parallel church.
Basically, it would be a new church on American soil that claims the same Anglican heritage as the Episcopal Church has claimed for a long time, but offers a different variation of the Christian faith than the Episcopal Church is currently offering in too many places.
The Episcopal Church has weathered controversy before, but unlike, say, the ordination of women, which caused a huge ruckus 30 years ago, many say views on homosexuality go to core Christian theology. For Susan Russell, the gospel means that God accepts and loves each person as he is, especially those who have been marginalized, like African Americans, women, and now gays. She says the church must do the same.
When I baptize a baby, at the end of the baptismal rite, I hold her up in front of the congregation and say, "Will you support this person in her life in Christ?" And they all say together in a loud voice, "We will." There is no asterisk in that baptismal promise that says, unless she turns out to be a lesbian. You know, I've checked. It's not there.
Moreover, she and others say, biblical writers did not understand human sexuality as they do now, and the prohibitions on homosexuality were aimed at casual encounters, not long-term, committed relationships. Conservatives like David Anderson say that's an untenable view.
Because that either presumes God was not involved in the writing of Scripture, or God has had a new learning curve and knows more now than he did then.
He says the gospel is about God's love, but it's also about man's repentance and transformation so he no longer sins, including having a homosexual lifestyle. The fight over homosexuality at the convention is expected to be intense, and the outcome, many say, looks more and more like a cliffhanger. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Washington.